24. Addie and I agreed to get together Tuesday night to write the speech. I am still not sure how I got hauled into this, except that, of the three of us, Skeezy, Joe, and me, I am the best with words. And also, Addie probably figures I am the least likely to get flaky on her. The way it works is that all the candidates sit up on the stage in folding chairs, but it is only the presidential candidates who make speeches. The rest of us get to spend the whole time trying to look serious and remembering not to pick our noses or scratch in unseemly places. And of course, it is crucial to visit the John right before the assembly. I do not look forward to this event, as I have told Addie a whole handful of times. She keeps telling me, "What do I have to worry about? I'm not the one giving the speech," which is about as close to sympathetic as Addie ever manages to get. Before I head over to Addie's house, having neatly worked a dinner invitation into the deal, I show up at Awkward Names to put in my time. Mr. K is calling me Bobby now, except in front of customers, when he still calls me Mr. Goodspeed, on account of putting on a good show, I figure. He is actually being nice to me, and when I make a mistake ringing up a customer's bill, he does not jump on me or even turn his eyebrows into a V, but waits until the customer is gone, and says in this calm voice,
"Is something weighing on your mind today, Bobby?"
I ask him, what would give him that impression? And he replies to the effect that it is not like me to mess up, and besides which, I have seemed a trifle distracted. I own up to girl trouble, at which he smiles, and then I tell him I have to go over to my friend's house later and help write a speech, and I do not know what to write. He gets out of me the whole story about the no-name party and how it came about. And the whole time he is shaking his head, which he switches to nodding when I tell him our party motto, "Sticks and stones may break our bones, but names will break our spirit."
That is so true. I believed every name I was called in school and took them with me into the rest of my life. I wonder if I might have been a braver person if I hadn't been called a sissy so many times when I was young.
He stops and gives this some thought, then goes on.
Well, there is no point in blaming others, although I do think names belong more to the people using them than the people on the receiving end. But what can we do? We're all so ready to believe the worst about ourselves, we just accept them without even thinking about what they mean or even if they are true.
The voice says,
"Shoppers, the store will be closing in 15 minutes.
And Mr. Kellerman goes,
"Sorry, I can't help you with your speech, Bobby."
To which I say, "You already have." When I get to Addie's house, I tell her to shush before she even gets 5 words out, on account of having to write some stuff down. Addie sits there on her bed staring at me until I tell her to stop it, at which point she starts writing too. And just as I'm finishing up, her mother is calling from downstairs,
"Dinner!"
Later, Addie says to me,
"What did you write, Bobby?"
I hand her the pad of paper, and she starts reading it, then hands it back, and says,
"Here, you read it to me."
I go, "Why?" And she says,
"Your handwriting is impossible."
Which I happen to know is not true. I figure she's got some other reason, but I do not wish to waste time trying to get it out of her, so I just pick up the pad and start to read.